You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, Madison. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX. It's time for the John and Gordy Morning Show.
We play beautiful music.
That's right.
The John Gordy Radio Show on WMDX.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's all right. Well, John Peterson, Gordy Young.
That's who
Dominic
we are.
Dominic Lee, yeah. Yeah. 92.7 WMDX. Beautiful weather today, John.
Yeah, it's going to be even better.
Fantastic.
I know, it's cooler, a little bit cooler.
This morning, yes.
Yeah.
But this afternoon, low 80s.
Oh, no.
So, low.
Oh, no.
What's the matter? You don't like the low 80s?
Well, no, I actually do. What am I complaining about? I think
I
it's fine.
I don't know.
God, stop me when I complain for nothing. I'm wasting all my complaining for this.
Yes. Hey, it's time for our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Fire up that music, Dominic. Let's see where we're going with this. Your daily chance to win a piece of gold jewelry and not only that, but $200 cash. Plus, every time you enter, that puts you into the grand prize drawing for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to Green Bay versus Minnesota. That game is coming up in November. So here's how this works. You just download the Civic Media app. If you haven't already done that, you can download that quickly and then go to WMDX, hit the text button, and use the word. The word this hour is zone. Okay? Z-O-N-E. Zone. Okay? That is the key word. So text that in. And when you do that, you'll get a return confirmation. And if you click on the link there, then you get into a whole nother area there where you can sign up for our newsletter and some other things. And every time you do that, that gives you more chances to win. So get in there and check it out. It is a multi-state contest. You can get all the rules at civicmedia.us/contest.
Do you need volume 3 of the rules?
Volume 3 is...
I have...
Do you have...
I have that book here.
Okay. All right. There are other hours you can check out use other keywords, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m. But the keyword for this hour, the 7 a.m. hour before 8 a.m., get that word in, zone. Z-O-N-E.
All right. Well, that was fantastic.
Volume 4 is coming out, too, tomorrow.
Hey, I want to let everybody know that tax credits.
Yes.
Rebates. For EVs will be continued by a few of the automakers. Yes, they're
really?
They're going to pay for it themselves. They're going to include the $7,500 tax credit that the federal government was throwing in. Well, that's not happening anymore. That expired. So the automakers, some of the automakers, are going to continue providing that. In other words, a discount of $7,500.
Fantastic.
Now, I bought mine used, and that was a $4,000 rebate. And
still huge.
I picked up on it. Yeah, that's huge. That's why I did it.
Yeah. You know?
And I'm so glad I did. It's my first modern car.
You saved all that money, and then you realized, well, you needed that money anyway to set up the electric charger.
Yeah. Well, I got another $10,000 to go, I guess. Big surprises on the horizon for me.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'll tell you what. You know, we get so much news and information. This is a fire hose of BS coming from the administration. So I tell you what. Let's turn on the old teletype and see if that thing is cranking
teletype.
Some news stories for us.
Okay. All right.
Ooh. That's nice.
Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we have an intro for that? I thought we'd get the intro here. Let's.
Okay.
This is official now, Gordy.
We got an official intro?
From the busy world capital, from the remote Himalayas, from the four corners of the earth, here is the latest news brought into your own living room as swiftly as it can be reported.
I'm not going to read it as fast as I can.
Come on.
But remember when Elon raged about Tesla boycotts? Oh, man, he was so angry about that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you should continue doing. Elon wants everybody to cancel Netflix. He told 226 million supposed followers, I say supposed because I got that notification due, and I'm not following that. Anyway, he wants to cancel Netflix because he thinks it's for the health of your kids, if you can imagine something so stupid as, well, thanks for looking out for our kids. You know, what? For some reason, Elon doesn't seem to be taking care of his own kids.
Well, what's the problem with Netflix and kids? What's the connection there?
There's a cartoon on there, and he objects to it because it's pushing the woke ideology. So here is an example of that woke ideology in a cartoon, and I put this on recording here, and just let's listen to what he is objecting to. All right, listen to this.
It's not the park. It's me. I'm trans, Norma, and everyone at school knows, and everyone at home knows, and being here, it's like a whole new place. I can just be Barney, and I can choose if and when I tell people. I've never been happier, and that's saying something when I spent today chased by terrifying zombie mascots. Pugsley reminded me how important it is to live your life without apology. So I think I gotta give living here a shot, don't you?
You don't need my permission.
There you go. That's very objectionable, isn't it? Can you imagine that just coming out? And wow. Your kid, why would you have your kids watch something like that? Followers were posting messages like, send a message loud and clear. We don't fund woke garbage. The simple solution, I think, and this is just, you know, me, be a parent. Don't let them watch this. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. They're always trying to foist their parenthood off on some business or school, you know. School should report that my kid wants to be referred to something else. No, why don't you talk to them yourself?
Right.
God, what is wrong with these parents? These are bad parents, by the way, when they start complaining about this kind of stuff. And by the way, this boycott is based on a cartoon that was canceled years ago. So Netflix has not seen massive subscription cancellations at all. So anyway, that's, you know. Oh, by the way, and just a little note here, Elon Musk is suffering from mass exodus of employees across all five of his companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so maybe people don't like him so much.
That story.
We got some more stories.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
okay,
look at
him.
Good. Fire hose of stories never ends.
Well, Sheldon Whitehouse was out there, and he was talking about the ACA, the costs skyrocketing on the ACA. So let's listen to this. This was something he revealed on All In with Chris Hayes last night. So let's check it out.
I want to just show, just so people get a sense of this. This is Kaiser Family Foundation running the numbers on some of this stuff. I mean, we're talking about real, real huge increases. So if this expires, which again is the current position of the Republican leadership, and this would happen, open enrollment's happening right now, right? So this is at the doorstep, is my understanding.
Yeah, people are getting these notices right now. This is a right now thing. This isn't, let's negotiate this next January. This is happening now. And that's why we're forcing this battle now so that they have to look at this now. And I went to the Senate floor a few days ago to talk about one individual Rhode Islander, a retired mental health counselor. Her monthly premium is going to go up $477 monthly. They just like cutting health care. It's like a fetish with them, and they're getting over it now when they're faced with this immediate consequence.
That's right. We were talking about this for ages here in the program, about how much the ACA costs are going to go up per month for everybody who is on it, including my own family. So this is devastating stuff, and this takes a lot of money out of the economy, spending money that families could have certainly, you know, use, I guess, for other things, like maybe, you know, buying a new EV. So, and then putting a charging station in. If they get city approval and all this other stuff that I've gone through, the hell I have gone through with this. Okay, I don't want to get sidetracked at all. It's
this is turning into your personal gripe session now.
This is therapy for me, and I need you to get some kind of degree.
Okay,
maybe a Harvard degree.
Okay,
a tech school degree from Harvard.
Yeah, I'll be your therapist.
There That's you fine. Go. All right, let's get to another story.
Oh, let's see. Catherine's on the line here.
Oh, we've got Catherine on the line. Okay. All right.
Good morning, Catherine.
I'm sorry to stop you down. You got another story you want to get to, but I wanted to comment on that last one with the $400 more per month, which would break me.
Yeah.
I'm in the camp where that's like, wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If that happened to me, that would be, you know, an extra $4,000 a year. I mean, that's real money. But here's the thing. The people who are making the rules, to them, that's not real money. Mm-hmm. They're like, an extra $400.
Yeah,
we're going to get it out of them. Of course we are.
That's right.
They can do that. They don't understand. We're all not making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year, let alone $1 billion.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And like,
out of touch.
And like Sheldon Whitehouse said, they've got a fetish about cutting health care for everybody in the country.
Yeah.
And no one can figure it out. I mean, I would think that maybe that would slow the economy down dramatically and make the administration look really bad. Just a thought. Okay.
Just a thought.
All right,
thank
Catherine.
You.
Thanks,
Catherine.
Yeah. A lot of people
got a fetish about it because it's Obamacare in their mind. They're still trying to get back at Obama.
And they don't know that the ACA is Obamacare for many of them.
Right.
Right? All right.
Yeah, they forgot that. Okay.
Okay, let's go. I knew we had some more stories here.
Well, it got jammed there for a minute. You know, it's got that ribbon is old.
As WPR's own Charlie Carpenter has written, Trump's domestic deployments raise the specter that the U.S. troops could be faced with a moral dilemma of whether to obey or disobey orders that are contrary to their oath to uphold the Constitution. This is that big speech to the generals and admirals, right? Geez. So
what a disaster.
And Charlie found in a recent survey of U.S. troops, most of them are aware of their legal obligation to disobey unlawful orders and are committed to doing so. But you know what? They are on the right side of this. Let's check out Cut 21. This is Cut 21. Trump saying that he's immune, but...
How do you think that the Supreme Court's ruling that benefited you on presidential immunity would apply to former President Barack Obama and what you're accusing him of doing?
It probably helps him a lot. Probably helps him a lot, the immunity ruling. But it doesn't help the people around him at all.
Trump said something that actually the people who work for him now should remember. He said that the people who work for Obama, they're not protected by the immunity decision. Well, all you people who are getting those jobs right now, working for Donald Trump, whether you be the lowliest ICE agent or Stephen Miller himself,
you better watch it because
you don't have immunity.
That's George Conway, and it's true. Deploying troops to U.S. cities to suppress protests or assist in immigration raids would further politicize the military and undermine public confidence in it as an institution. So that's what's at stake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got more stories coming across.
All right, we'll keep that teletype running. Okay, it's 19 past the hour. We'll continue with John and Gordy on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Conspiracy.
This is John and Gordy in the morning. WMDX 92.7 on your old radio dial. You can also listen to us online on the Civic Media app by picking our station, WMDX. And then, of course, communicating with us in some way, shape, or form, because we want to hear from you, damn it.
Yes. And you can call us at 608-879-8255. We've got a call waiting on the line. We'll get to that in a moment. Want to remind you, this Sunday, we're going to be out at Warner Park for the big 2025 Walk to End Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Please join us out there. You know, there are 11 million people that are dealing with unpaid care. There are more than 6 million Americans living with Alzheimer's, but their friends and family, you count them in. That's another 11 million people that are affected by that disease one way or the other. Lots of research going on. That's what this is all about, to raise funds for more awareness and support and research. So join us at the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's this Sunday at Warner Park. People will start gathering there around 9 o'clock. I think the walk takes place about 10:30. It's a pleasant walk around Warner Park. And you can donate on our webpage, WMDXradio.com. Join our team or donate to the team or just show up that day. You can register and walk with us. Okay, that's Sunday.
All right.
Yeah, Should we grab a phone?
Yeah, just before we do, I want to mention the car companies that are still providing a $7,500 discount on their new vehicles. That would be General Motors, Hyundai, and Ford. They're all offering the $7,500 discount in order to sell down their existing EV inventory. And that's it for EVs. You won't see another one on the road.
Before they're made illegal.
That's right. They'll probably be made illegal. Who knows? We got a whole bunch of other stories, but let's get to the phones right now. We want to hear from Dick.
Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Good morning. Can we return just for a second to the Fuhrer's loyalty speech the other day, or I'd call it
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And sure. how the media is covering it is just disgusting. In that, okay, one of these generals that was on a retired on MSNBC, he said, "I have a friend who was there, who was still in, obviously," and he said he's a very anal type guy and he always takes real notes, this type of thing. And this guy said that 10 minutes into that rambling, whatever it was, he quit taking notes. He said it was so incoherent, so crazy. So babbling that he said it wasn't even worthy, and it's tying nothing together. I guess my point is here, how come, again, they'd scrutinize every single thing about Biden, and this guy pulls that during that speech, and there's maybe, 24 hours, and then it's back to normal.
Right. He doesn't like
the... nothing normal about that speech.
He doesn't like the stealth look of battleships.
And they said the background, I didn't notice it until it was pointed out.
Yeah.
On one of the shows nationally yesterday.
What was that?
They said the background was exactly like the beginning of Patton.
Oh.
The flag and the flags on either side and everything.
Oh, wow.
No kidding. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Would not be surprised.
Oh, boy.
All right, Dick. Thanks a lot. We got a text here from Doug.
He's
back with us here, and he said, now.
Now you got to roll up here.
I got to roll up.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment. Here we go.
This is all over the place. He says, so far, Trump has not put troops outside every Cracker Barrel. That's probably next.
Thank you, Doug, for pointing that out.
Probably true.
Yeah. Yeah, we're waiting for them to march down State Street. We got a good view when they're ready to go here.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So. Jobs. Boy, the jobs numbers are not looking good. Private sector jobs for medium and small businesses, minus 32,000 jobs. They lost a few jobs. It's cut number 22.
Oh, no.
The job losses continue. Let's listen.
And let's just review what we got, because as Rick said, very disappointing. It was a weak number. So this is private sector jobs. Total comes in negative 32,000. And that was a surprise, because economists were looking for an increase of 51,000. It's the biggest monthly drop since March 2023. Also, the revision was not good. August was revised down sharply. The month now showing, as you can see, but August goes down to negative 3,000 compared to the initial read of 54,000. There's the August revision. So two-week months in a row. If you look, private sector payrolls have now dropped in three of the last 4 months, according to ADP. And if you look beneath the surface, you can see where the job losses were. Small and medium-sized businesses saw bigger declines than large businesses, which actually saw job growth. But guys, if you take the report and you compare it, you know, some people say, oh, it's not really correlated with the government jobs report. Well, the reason I think that people are paying attention to it today is, first of all, we're not going to likely get that government jobs report on Friday. Yeah, but also look at the correlation. I mean, the direction is in the it's in the right mode. Like they dip at the same time. They rise at the same time. I think it gives you a good sense, at the very least, of the trend job growth.
So you got kind of an idea here that things are not going well economically.
Right.
I know my mega friend in Milwaukee bragged, oh, 50,000 jobs. See, that's not so bad after all. Well, it's adjusted to minus 3,000 now.
So 3,000 or 30,000?
3,000 for August.
August.
It's 32,000 for September.
Oh, boy.
Minus 32,000. My mega friend in Milwaukee. I wonder where that's going to be readjusted to. Maybe $50,000 or $60,000. Jobs, rather.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have that much time, so that's
We will.
Let's shut down the teletype, please.
Is the teletype still
Running?
Where
is that teletype? There it is.
Okay, now shut it out.
Okay. Close the door on the teletype room.
It is 29 past the hour. Coming up next, after we check in with the Midwest Food and Farm Report, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney at Law, will be joining us.
Yes.
And again, the key word this hour is zone for our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. You could win a piece of gold jewelry and $200 cash, and you'll be in for the grand prize drawing of those club-level tickets to Green Bay versus Minnesota. Coming back with Jim Santel next.
And no one could tell his heart is broken and half well the joke's on.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy in the morning. The music is the introduction to Amicus, a Law Review. Jim Santel is with us, as he is each and every Thursday
Jim, good morning.
So, yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to be with you once again.
Yes, yes. So many things going on. I just want to throw this into the mix right away. We don't have to really talk about it, but the Eighth Circuit will hear arguments. You think this would be embarrassing for far-right groups, but it's a far-right group, and they're looking to renew its challenge to a pro-voting Minnesota law that seeks to combat election misinformation, voter intimidation, and harassment. They want to challenge that. They want that. They want harassment, intimidation, and misinformation. That's what they're trying to protect.
Protect that.
What? Right, exactly. Yep. And for what it's worth, just geographically, the Eighth Circuit, the kind of the breadbasket states just to the west of us here in Wisconsin, a great number of them. The Eighth Circuit is also this appellate circuit, again, one of many right before the Supreme Court, that not too long ago said that the only people who can bring lawsuits under the Voting Rights Act is the Department of Justice. And that has never been the law. And the great majority of cases brought under the Voting Rights Act have been by private individuals. Supreme Court interestingly told them that's a bridge too far, even for us. And so knock that off. But still, the Eighth Circuit, once again in the news for entertaining this challenge here.
That's crazy. Mm. All right. Well, let's get to something different. We haven't talked about the shutdown very much on this program, but you experienced a shutdown during the Obama Holder era. And tell us about that experience.
What was that like?
Yeah.
Sure. Same kind of thing. And I recall very, very well. Again, a couple of observations just about the impact of this. Mm-hmm. It plainly doesn't, it's not a total government shutdown, right? I mean, because you still have getting Social Security checks, the Postal Service is still out there. And even for the Department of Justice, it was not a total shutdown. Why? Because you still had to do basic law enforcement, still had to be in court, but required that I sit down with a staff, and it lasted a long period of time, and send them home and say, you know what, not only am I sending you home, you are forbidden from working. You know, good conscientious civil servants often sort of sneak in and try to say, well, I got this thing coming up, I got to do that. The direction, of course, is no, you are shutting things down. And my first point about this is that that's the consequence of doing this. It's not just some headline on the evening talk shows. You are having a significant compromise in the literal practical trappings of the operations of government across the board. I can speak to the Department of Justice that it had on our capacity to prosecute cases, to litigate cases. We had to get extensions of time and other things. People should know that it affects the trappings of government. And here's the other one that may sound less significant, but we've always talked in this program about the importance of civil servants, right? These are people who are not political. They come to work every day. And I still remember very well exactly where I was, the tears in their eyes when I said to them, go home. And oh, by the way, you're not going to get paid when you're home. Eventually, yes, the Congress did restore funds, but people have a great pride in their jobs. They're proud to work for the government. And again, the larger point is, how dare you, Congress? You know, Shakespeare, pox on both your houses. Can you imagine if, whether it's civic media or you name your corporation, your nonprofit, and the chief executive said, you know what, board of directors, we just didn't get around to putting together a budget, so we're shutting down tomorrow, sending everybody home, we're not doing our operation together. In what other entity, in what other institutional framework would that be acceptable? And yet the United States government, we do this routinely. We simply say, we're going to shut down these major operations. Where is, again, should be outrage on many things, where is the outrage of people? And I put Democrats and Republicans and independents all in the same boat on this. You have an obligation of the Constitution to keep the government running. These continuing resolutions do not do it. Mm-hmm. Shame on you, Congress, for not doing your job.
Yeah.
Don't these shutdowns go back to, what was the first one? Was it Clinton and Gingrich?
Yes, it was, right? Exactly. And again, it was novel at that time, and people asking again, what were the consequences? It was a big deal, lasted for a long period of time. There have been up-to-the-edge shutdowns. There have been shutdowns that have lasted, you know, hours or so. Friday night comes and goes, and there's no agreement. And then by Monday morning, we're back in business. The one that I recall was weeks on end. And again, this one, for example, it shutters completely. Department of Education, which I know our president would be thrilled about, yeah. Commerce Department, Labor Department, State Department is shuttered. National Parks, for what it's worth, yeah, you can go there. Parking lots are closed and visiting centers, museums, all of that. So good luck with at Yellowstone and the bears that may wander into your traffic way, right?
I don't mean
that in a bad sense at all, but it just underscores the crazy sense of all of this. We're back again. We cannot figure out in 2025 how to keep our government running, a basic function, put together a budget and make it happen. I know that's easier said than done, but it's outrageous, once again, the United States of America living and breathing, or not living and breathing, like this.
Well, it gives the Democrats, though, a chance to try to negotiate a deal and continue something that is egregiously wrong about taking away the tax credits on the ACA. If we didn't have this stop, we wouldn't be able to negotiate trying to get that back before it's gone. So I don't know. I'm conflicted on that.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. There are things that can come. My point is, Congress, you need to address those issues, fight about it, not in the violent sense, and get it done before we shut this down,
before.
It's all about timing.
Yep.
Why are we doing this now after, again, when quite literally the rooms are dark and the functions are falling apart? Agree entirely. There should be drag out disagreements about the budget. This is a time. Budgets, as we know, define substance, right? They're codifications of policy. Right. And that's exactly what you just said, John, that you've got to have that kind of advocacy. Do it. And yet we're doing it now, again, not at the 11th hour, at the 13th hour, right?
That's the problem, yeah. Well, tell us about what's going on with the tariffs. We know that the Supreme Court is going to take a look at that. Trump does not have the power to create these tariffs, and I think somewhere along the way, Trump is asking the Supreme Court to give him that power.
Absolutely. This, once again, is this notion established by the Chief Justice that we've got this all-powerful executive. We know he did that on July 1, 2024, right? And another decision in late June of this year that really gives him a huge amount of power. And that, of course, is immunity decision. But the larger point of that order was President Ken pretty much needs to be muscular, needs to be deaf, needs to be moving quickly and making decisions and doing things, cannot wait around for things like, oh, I don't know, deliberation and thought and judgment and all those kinds of good things, needs to move quickly and with great force. That's what the commission was from the United States Supreme Court. So I very seldom these days are defending my president, but he was told by the Supreme Court he can do these things, including tariffs. What's the problem there? Well, you got two courts. You got the Court of International Trade, you got the Federal Circuit, both of which they're experts. These are not people like me who would come in and pontificate about these kinds of things. These are folks who do trade day in and day out. The courts, they're very sophisticated, and both of them said, number one, hey, let's look at the Constitution. Turns out that James Madison, George Mason, others said, yeah, that's an Article I thing. The legislature establishes those. It's quite clear. And number two, this particular law that the president says gets him around that, it's only for emergencies. It's for in times of invasion. It's times of true shutdowns of the nation. If you've got to have a president to act, that doesn't apply here. That's what the courts have said in compelling language. Mm-hmm. All the Supreme Court needed to do was nothing. Just leave those decisions as they are and tell the president he can't do this anymore. Instead, what they do, we'll hear that case as well. Yeah. Bring that up. What are we going to do? Are we going to amend the Constitution once again, John, and give the president more power? More power? That's what's on the docket in part coming up in 4 days.
Yeah, these are self-created amendments. You know, they're just making this stuff up as they go along. And plus, you know, saying that he has these kind of powers diminishes what the legislature can do.
Sure.
And they're giving all of that up. Now, does that create a precedent later on when another administration comes in and tries to do things and tries to send all that power back to the legislature, or a new legislature says, that's our power, we're going to challenge the president? What? All of these cases will probably reappear in the court somehow, somewhere along the way.
Right. They will, and that's the other piece of this. The Supreme Court, again, back in business as of Monday, they interestingly have decided to hear about 30-some cases, which is about half of their docket. Normally, they'll add more cases to it. The speculation is, yes, they're anticipating all of these emergency applications, all these shadow docket cases, including this great power that's been given to the president, everything from capacity to stop foreign aid, to stop aid to academic institutions, to fire people, shut down agencies across the board. All those things we've talked about in various ways may populate eventually this coming term. In the meantime, however, that's the law of the land. And I think your question about where's the legislature is the all-important one.
Yeah.
These are policy decisions, once again, that the legislature should be making, and the president, again, saying yes or no, but we have abandoned that. And again, with the exception of things like trying to keep the government afloat here with stopgap measures on a budget, and again, with the exception of that terrible big bill that Congress passed, where are they? Where are they?
Yep.
They were envisioned to be, as you just said, the big boys on the block, and they're not. Precedent, you bet. And again, a future president can invoke what the Supreme Court has said and said what's good for the goose, good for the gander, good for President Trump, good for a future president. I don't need to follow. I don't need to defer to the Congress. I can just issue executive orders. And the Supreme Court is, let me do it, let them do it in the past, let me do it now once again. You bet, President.
You know, talking with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. Jim, what else is the Supreme Court likely to take up here? You mentioned a few of those cases. Anything else on that docket that they are likely to
talk about? They take a look at what they like to look at. As you know, religion has been a big issue in the past, because this past term, there's a case involving a prisoner who had his dreadlocks cut by his jailers, and he invokes a statute that provides for religious liberties. So they may get into that as well. Many, many other cases. There's a campaign finance case there that's pending. There is two cases in the LGBTQIA area. One is transgender women in sports. Yes, that's in the docket. Hmm. How about conversion therapy, right? Roundly dismissed by all medical authorities. Can, in fact, what's that all about? All of that on the Supreme Court docket coming up. No, I think 2026 will be just as much, if not greater, in terms of its import come June of 2026 than 2025 has been.
Jim, can you stay with us?
I will do just that.
All right. We will continue with Jim Santel on John and Gordy in the Morning. Be right back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're here in Madtown.
Yep.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy.
It is 7:52. One more reminder here. The key word this hour is zone. If you're in for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest, you have just a few more minutes to get that in till 8 a.m. There'll be other keywords during other hours, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. And every entry gets you in for a chance for that piece of gold jewelry and $200 cash. And the entry, the grand prize entry also gets you in for that for a pair of indoor club level tickets to the Green Bay versus Minnesota game in November. Go to civicmedia.us/contest for more rules.
All right.
Okay, back for a few more minutes with Jim Santel.
That's right. Amicus Law Review. You can hear that on Saturday, 9 to 11 o'clock. And I have a big question here. And that is, I think a lot of people notice this, that the federal courts are way more articulate, way more concerned about the Constitution than any of the rulings that we've read about on the Supreme Court. Am I correct in assuming that?
I think you don't even have to assume. All you need to do is look at the record on these things. They're writing these tomes. They're 50, they're 70, they're 100 pages long. They're doing some of this very quickly, which, again, some of the justices have said, well, the reason why we have to just issue these one-sentence orders is we have to move quickly. That's what's going on here. Well, I'm sorry. There is still a thing called the all-nighter, right? Even for Supreme Court justices. And these are important cases. Again, you don't have to take any of them. But if you do, the American people deserve more. And you're absolutely right. Take a look at any one of these. Many district court, the trial judges, the appeals courts are also writing things that, again, should be taught in civics classes, high schools, colleges, law schools. They're these tomes that affirm across partisan values. And again, it's judges who are appointed by Republican presidents and Democratic presidents. They're all like writing these small little constitutional statements. They're wonderful. And then they get up to the Supreme Court and they hit this wall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get a one or two sentence or one or two paragraph response that says, well, we're going to not do that while the underlying litigation is going on. So, Mr. President, go ahead and do what you want. A whole lot more articulate at the lower court level, absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk about William Young. You brought this up during the break here. Tell us about that.
Yeah, what's this case?
So he's a federal district court judge. We saw him before. He was the one who was chastised by a couple of Supreme Court justices for not following precedent when, in fact, the president was a one-sentence order with respect to some funding issues. He sort of apologized. This is the same fellow that got former Justice Breyer coming to his defense and saying, no, when you're not giving judges direction. So he's been in the news before. Now he's taken the lead once again. 161 pages, John and Gordy, you can read.
Wow.
Dom will read that for you and get back to you by tomorrow
morning.
That's not
going
to
happen. Thanks, can you do that, Dom?
Yeah. No, it is going to happen, right? So 161 pages. Basically what he says is that the deportation of pro-Palestinian students is in violation of the Constitution, denying their free speech rights. He finds that the government namely Donald Trump, has been deporting pro-Palestinian advocates for the purpose of shutting them down, sending them overseas, getting them out of here so they're no longer talking. And he begins his order, many, many wonderful things in this, begins an order by describing a threat that he received as a district court judge. The threat says, Trump has pardons and tanks. What do you have?
What do you have?
That's a threat that came into the federal, and that's how he starts all of this. And he goes on to say, alone, I have nothing but my sense of duty. Together, we, the people of the United States, you and me, have our magnificent Constitution, and goes on to explain why he had ruled as he has ruled against Kristi Noem, against Marco Rubio for doing this, finding as a matter of fact that there are several agents, acted in concert to misuse the sweeping powers of their offices to target non-citizen pro-Palestinians for deportation, primarily on account of their First Amendment speech. And then this other language here. How did they do it? They did so, he says, in order to strike fear, chilling, into similarly situated non-citizens, goes on. And the effect of these targeted deportations is to chill freedom of speech, talks about the Trump brand. And then maybe in the most compelling stuff at the very end of this, he says, I fear President Trump believes the American people are so divided that today they will not stand up, fight for and defend our most precious constitutional values, so long as they are lulled into thinking that their own personal interests are not affected. Is he correct?
Wow.
That's how he finishes his order.
Wow.
161 pages. Again, Dom will report on all of that tomorrow morning.
Could you give that? But, we want to hear it in our headphones tomorrow.
Exactly, right?
The whole show.
Well, here's the thing about that. Is this guy applying for a Supreme Court justice job when there's a Democratic president? I would put him in there. Right, this is great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, we shouldn't have to talk about who appointed you. But this is a Ronald Reagan appointee. This is
that's right.
And again, you've got this across the board. You shouldn't have to talk about that at
all.
We always do that. The national media does it, appointed by Obama, appointed by Jimmy Carter, appointed by Ronald Reagan. Shouldn't have to do it. And the rule is here, what we were seeing is judges across the board, almost with unanimity, are writing these kinds of things. We talked about, remember this Judge Wilkinson from the Fourth Circuit when he had the Abrego Garcia case in front of him? He talked about how, we got to respect each other. And he said, that's not going on. Mr. President, do better. Same kind of thing coming out of Young.
Yeah. The Supreme Court does not respect anybody else, any of the federal judges at all.
It doesn't seem to be.
Continually contradict them.
Jim, we got to leave it there. You can listen to Jim's great show, Amicus, a Law Review, every Saturday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just when I was getting really angry.
You were just getting warmed up. Okay. Jim, thank you.
Good to be with you, gentlemen, as always.
Talk to you again next Thursday. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have a Maxine preview with Rocker, of course, looking ahead to all kinds of great music happening around the area. Savannah Tomei Olson will check in from the news department, and Pam Yonke with an update on the World Dairy Expo going on at the Alliance Center.
And we'll see how the show sounds from the detention camp that we're going to tomorrow.
FEMA camp. Okay. That's going to do it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.